I was thinking about a song that we've sang probably many years ago, but this just fit with what God laid on my heart. And so worship with me as I sing. I'm available to you.
Of sinners, but can I wipe away their tears? You gave me my voice to speak your word, to sing all your praises to those who never heard, but with my eyes I see. That have been broken, so many people to be free. Lord, I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do what you say. Do show him your love and your perfect plan. You gave me my ears. I hear the cries of but can I wipe away their tears? You gave me my voice to speak your word, to sing all your praises to those who never heard. But with my eyes I see a need for more availability. I see hearts that have been broken, so many people to be free. Lord, I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do what you say. Do use me, Lord, to show to me. My hands, my ears, my voice, my life, so you can use them as you please. So now I am so free. I just want to be more available to you.
Available so that God can use you. I just learned it this last week. I knew it growing up, but just the message of the song. Whenever I sing, I don't ever want us to sing a song that sounds pretty and tickles the ears or whatever, but I want to sing a song that has meaning and that I could just read the words of that song in a prayer. And that is my desire, is to be available to do what God wants me to do. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. In Jesus' name, God, Lord, thank you for bringing all these beautiful mothers here today. God, I pray that you would give blessings on their lives and their homes and their children, Lord. God, I pray that you would touch your word today, God. Lord, I'm a willing vessel, Lord, that you would use me today, God. Lord, I pray that you would anoint my heart and my thoughts and my words, God, so that people could receive what you've given. In Jesus' name, your will be done today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, last Sunday, we were blessed by the ministry of the Haneys, and they are just so powerful, and I'm so thankful that whenever I have people speak at our conference, I never just, you know, there's always people saying, oh, this person's so good, and I think this person might bless us, but I really take my time, and I pray, and I go to different conferences and stuff, so I hear different people speak, and so I know if they have greatly impacted my life, that the same will be with you, because, you know, what we do in ministry is not just, okay, let's get someone that, you know, that, oh, that person, I've heard that person so good and powerful and, you know, and they'll probably bless you, whatever. But it's very sacred, the platform and the things that we do and the things that we allow up here. And so I knew that the Haneys would bless us. And we were just so powerfully blessed by Sister Haney during the ladies' conference, and then again by Pastor Haney. And I know the Lord, I know he walks with God, and what he delivered to our church was for our church. And he's a pastor, and he has a pastor's heart, and I'm thankful for that. But Sunday night, we were sitting around visiting, and Sister Haney asked, she goes, are you going to speak on Mother's Day? And I said, no. And she said, oh, you should speak. You would do so awesome. She goes, I speak every year to our ladies. And I'm like, and I just smiled. And my husband goes, I think the Lord is speaking. And I'm like, well. And I said, I'll pray about it. But when we sincerely say, I'll pray about it, and don't just close our mind to it, God will speak to us. And when I woke up on Monday morning, God had given me a title, and he'd given me scripture references. And I'm like, okay, Lord. And, you know, a lot of things that, you know, a lot of people have natural talent and natural ability to speak, and they're just so fluent with words. I've never been one that naturally is just fluent with words. My heart's full, and I'm probably better one-on-one. I could really express myself one-on-one. But when it comes to speaking, so I always say anything I do spiritually successful, God gets all the glory for it, because it's not in my natural ability to speak. But when God speaks, it's time for us to speak, because we are the voice that God can speak through. And God loved us so much that he gave his life. And how much more should we do our part when we are walking with God and we have a relationship with God and we've experienced his presence to share what God has given us? And that's the will of God for us. Let's turn to Luke 1. It's a lengthy reading, so you don't have to stand. I know a lot of times some stand and some don't stand, but I grew up old school, and you always stand for the reading of the Word of God. It's just reverence and respect, and sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But so I have a lengthy reading, so no need to stand. This one I'm just doing read. Some of the readings that I do, I don't even know if they have it in the media, but some may be in the Amplified and some Amplified Classic. So I'm going to read, some of them I'm going to read both scriptures because I love the translation. So Luke 1:26-38 says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? That means she'd never been with a man before. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth shall have also conceived a son of her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. So she was barren, she couldn't even have kids. So for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Wow, that's just incredible. Just imagine having an angel come to you and say, you're going to carry the Son of God. First of all, I don't know if any of us are that worthy. You know, a lot of times, you know, some people think they've just got it all together. But you know what? Some people just, they need to look in the mirror, for one. But you know what? I don't know what I would do. If an angel came to me and said, you're going to carry the Son of God, what a huge responsibility. So what a responsibility to know that you were carrying the Son of God, Jesus manifest in the flesh. To accept the call of God on your life, it takes a lot of faith. You can't, when you come to God, you don't know a whole lot. You don't understand a whole lot. But the more you come around, the more things start making sense. And then after you start accepting that this thing is real, God is real. and we learn to accept it for ourselves, it's then that God is able to use us. In Mark 16, 15 through 20, you can turn to that in the media, but I'm going to read it in the Amplified Classic. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news, the gospel, to every creature of the whole human race. He who believes, who adheres to and trusts in and relies on the gospel and him whom it sets forth and is baptized will be saved from the penalty of eternal death. But he who does not believe, who does not adhere to and trust in and God and rely on the gospel and him whom it sets forth will be condemned. And if these attesting signs will accompany those who believe in my name, they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents, and even if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will get well. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord kept working with them and confirming the message by the attesting signs and miracles that closely accompanied it. And amen, which means so be it. It's done. So when you have the Holy Ghost and you've been baptized, you followed the plan of salvation, which is repentance, water baptism, and receiving the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, you're equipped. You've got what it takes. So don't doubt yourself, because doubting yourself is doubting what God can do. Because like we read in the scripture, nothing's impossible with God. When it comes to things, the things of God can't, should not be in your vocabulary. And I've caught myself with that in the past, saying, well, I can't do it. I don't have what it takes. But I got spiritually checked by a man of God in my life. And he said, if you say you can't, you're saying God can't. And I know God can do anything. So I'm like, so anytime I start to say can't, I stop myself because I can. Not in my nature, not in my flesh, but when I'm in the spirit and I am allowing God to use me, I can do anything. In Acts 1:8, in the King James Version says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth and in Tulare, County. We have a voice, and it's our responsibility not to be selfish with what God has given you, the Holy Ghost, the experiences that we have every service, but use it. So when you get the Holy Ghost, you repent and you're baptized, you repent of your sins and you're baptized in Jesus' name, you are called of God. You don't have to be behind a pulpit. You don't have to, go on a big stage or whatever. When you have the Holy Ghost, you've been baptized, and you're all that, you are called. And we used to have some signs. They may be here somewhere. But it says everyone is a disciple. Everyone's a minister. We may not be major preachers, but we're all a minister. What are you ministering? We can minister good things, and we can minister bad things. I remember a message I heard a long time ago by Donna Linville. I don't know if anybody even know of her, but she was talking about how, are you light? Are you dark? When you come into the room, do you bring in light or do you bring in darkness? Because we can do both. We can do both. But how, I'm a child of God. I want to bring in light to a room, not because of me, but because of him. Because it's his love that allows us to love. And without his love, we don't give the proper love. But it's God's love that shows us how to really love. And I encourage you, If you're in a bad mood or you're having a bad day, stay home. Don't go out into the world, because we need to be a light to the world. When you go out into the grocery store or you're going shopping in the mall, put your pretty face on, because God is in you, and he deserves the glory for who we are and what we are. And we're living in a day and age, the world is a yucky place right now. There's so many wars and rumors of wars and shootings and torturing children. It's awful, the things going on in our world. So how much more we, the church and the people who serve a God that can deliver them all, how much more do we need to step it up? And I was just thinking about it the other day. I'm like, we've talked about it in the past. If each one of us would reach one, we would double our church. And it's not just reaching one, but disciple them, love them, teach them a Bible study, share the good news, the gospel of what God's done in your life, because there's nothing more powerful than an individual testimony, because you are going to be able to reach people I could never reach, and I'll reach people you could never reach. We're all at different places in life. We've had different experiences, good and bad, but what the enemy went for evil, God meant for good. And God can use every yucky situation you've ever gone through, every hurt, every pain, to minister to someone. Because so many times we want to minister to people and they're like, well, you know, they'll say thank you. Oh, I'm praying for you. You're going to get through this. But you may not really understand what they're going through. And that's why Jesus had disciples. We need to be disciples of Jesus and do our part and reach the ones that we can reach. A single mother, a single father, you know, a widowed mother or father. There's so many different places that of ministry where we need to do our part, because I can't do what you can do and you can't do what I can do. So we just got to both do our part. And it takes discipline. Living for God is not a walk in the park. It's not easy, because there's so many pressures in the world. And it's more popular just to go with the flow and do what everybody else is doing around us. It takes discipline to be set apart. It takes discipline to be a real Christian. And you're not going to be put to the test until you walk out those doors. When you walk out the doors of the church is when your true Christianity will come out. Being a Christian is being Christ-like. Being a Christian is loving people and serving our world. But the easy thing to do is say, when God calls you and you feel that urgency in your spirit, and like Monday morning, God gave me a word. I could have said no and not even told anybody. And no one would have ever known except for me and my guilt. I would have felt so guilty. So we have to say yes. But saying no is easy. But let me go a step further. To go to hell, it takes no work at all. To go to hell, you can live like however you want to live. You don't have to live a separated life. You can do what you want. You can say what you want. You can be around who you want. You can go where you want. There's no work to that, but there is consequences. And there is an eternal place that you're going to go. So if you want to make heaven your home and you want to be a true Christian, put on your work boots. Get up in the morning. Live a disciplined life. But living a disciplined life is not just doing things in our flesh and just doing what the flesh loves, to sleep all day, you know, when we're not working, or just lay around and do absolutely nothing, which, you know, I'm guilty of. But to pull out that Bible and to roll over on the floor on our knees, it takes discipline. But I love God. God has been so good to me, and he deserves my time. He deserves me to open my word and let him speak to me and through me. And the only way he can do that is if I take time, discipline, to spend with him in his presence. And I've been prophesied over in different things, you know, but when you're prophesied over and a man of God speaks over your life, you put it on the shelf because you might not be in the season yet where God wants to use you. But I know I'm in a place where God wants to use me more than ever before. And I want to accept the call of what God has put on my life. I don't want to just set this example to my children, but I want to set an example to my friends, to the people I go to church with. I want to be real. What will people say of you when you're not around? What kind of person are you? And I don't want to have to worry about what people might say, because I do love people. I'm a work in progress. I'm far, far from perfect, but I try to love people and I try to treat people kindly. And another thing is, I don't want to be a pew warmer. I don't want to come to church and sit back with my arms folded and be on my phone the entire service. But I want to come to church and I want to be a worshiper. I want to come here. We do so many things throughout the week. We give ourselves to technology and all the things of this world. How much more when we come into the presence of the God to give him our all, to worship him with all of our heart, because he's worthy. He's the one that's going to save us in the end. He's the one who gives us that love, and he's the one who gives us the Holy Ghost and gives us peace that passeth all understanding when we're going through stuff. I can't imagine having kids and having a marriage without God. I don't know how the world does it. Actually, you can see there's so many divorced and there's so many kids that walk out of their parents' homes because they're not getting the love. They're not getting the discipline that they need in their lives. But when we love our children, we give them discipline. We give them structure. When my kids were growing up, our kids went to bed at 8:30 when they were really small, because when you have kids, you don't have a life hardly outside your kids until they grow up and can be a little more independent. But so when my kids were small, we put them to bed at 8:30 because I have a marriage that needs time as well. Even when you have kids, don't neglect your marriage. And it's structure. You know, and people never understood, oh, they're not going out. Their kids got to go home and go to bed, you know. But you do have to be flexible when you're structured, too. Because Wednesday nights would usually last from 8:30. My kids were small. We went to 9:30. But in midweek, you got to be a little flexible. So they'd go to bed when we got home. But structure is good. And discipline is good. And it will help you in every area. And in your jobs, when you go to your job, you have to be accountable. You have to be accountable to your boss. You can't just say, "Oh, I don't feel too good today, so I'm not going to work." Well, in the spirit world, we have pastors that's watchmen for your soul. And if he don't know why you're not at church, I guarantee you he's worried about you. Do they get an accident on their way to church? Who knows what's going on? You know. And so we have order that God's placed in our lives. And everything you do, not just everybody thinks that church is so complicated and it's just rules and regulations. But if you have a decent job and you want to keep it and you want to be higher up in that job, you got to do the best that you can do. You got to be the best you can be. Sometimes you have to study. Sometimes you have to take some classes to elevate you in that company. Same thing with God. It's so simple. We make it so complicated. So when just think about the things you give yourself to the most. Do you want to be the best that you can be at it? Same goes with the things of God. Be a witness. And I was thinking of this song I heard growing up, Share the Gospel, because the world needs to know. Some people, we're the only voice that they may hear about the things of God. They'll be like, "I never heard of that. I never knew there was a God that loved me." But there's this song, it's so catchy, and I just sang a small portion of it, but I looked it up, and it was actually, what was his name? He just passed away not too long ago. Andre Crouch. Share the gospel.
Share the gospel everywhere you go. Tell the story that never has grown old. Tell how he lived, tell how he died. Tell how he rose and how he abides. Share the gospel everywhere you go.
And that song, just I think about that, and it's so true. We've got to share this. Share it. Get out these four walls. And the good news in the Bible, if you don't already know, the Gospels are in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it talks about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And that is our example of what we need to do in salvation. We're going to repent, which is death, death to sin. We're going to be buried, the burial. We're going to be buried in the name of Jesus. And the resurrection is to... You're going to live the life and you're going to do what God wants you to do. In 2 Corinthians, I'm going to read it. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 9. I'm going to read it in the King James Version, also the Amplified. Because I like both, but I want you to hear the different translations. But even if our gospel is in some sense hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only to those who are perishing, or those who are lost. Among them, the god of this world, Satan, has builded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So when we have the Holy Ghost, we have an illuminating light. And your light needs to be flickering always. And the only way the light of God's glory is going to shine is in your relationship with him. If you don't continually talk to God, your light's going to, you're going to be so dim. People aren't going to be able to see the light. But keep that light, the fire of the glory of God, burning in your lives. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves merely as your bondservant for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory and majesty of God, clearly revealed in the face of Christ. But we have this precious treasure, the good news about salvation in unworthy earthen vessels of human frailty, so that the grandeur and surpassing greatness of the power will be shown to be from God, his sufficiency, and not from ourselves. We are pressured in every way, hedged in but not crushed, perplexed, unsure of finding a way out, but not driven to despair. Hunted down and persecuted, but not deserted. To stand alone. We don't have to be alone in this world. Struck down, but never destroyed. It's not a hard thing. But you got to live a disciplined life. Prayer and reading the word daily are essential in our relationship with God. To maintain a real relationship with someone, you got to spend time with them. You got to talk to them on the phone. You got to text back and forth. Stay in touch. You got to communicate. And there's no limits on what God can do in your life. I've been in this my whole life. My parents brought me up in this truth. But there was a day where I had to say, you know what, this is the life I'm going to live. And I had to understand why. And I wouldn't have understood why if I didn't open the Word of God and read it. And so when we put limits on God, it's us. It's not him. Because I've grown so much in God, and I know there's so much more for me. I want, like that song says, I want all God has for me. I want all of it. And he, I'm not going to get all of it. Until the day he comes back, I'm still going to be getting more. But I want to reach for it. I want to do what my part in reaching what God has for me. Fasting will also draw you closer to God. And sometimes our prayers feel like they're just hitting the ceiling and coming right back. But when we when we set aside a meal or something that maybe our favorite things to do or favorite things to eat, and we spend that time in prayer when we're craving those things, we are going to get the attention of God. And if you want to get God's attention, set aside some of the things of this world that get your attention, whether it's watching movies, technology, hanging out with our buddies. Sometimes we have to even separate ourselves from our friends because they get all of our time. So we need to learn to live disciplined lives when we're in the world outside the church. This is the test of whether we're truly a Christian, by the way we live our lives and how we treat others. We have a responsibility to, like I said, to live our mission statement, loving people and serving our world. And that wasn't just a coincidence. I believe God ordained that mission statement because that is what we have to do. We have to love people. And loving people is treating each other with respect and love and allowing someone to grow on their own. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And we can't be judgmental. We need to love people and let God do his work. Because when he does it, he gets it right. And we try to rush and make things happen. We may be a little further along in our knowledge of what God has for us. But if we'll just love people and keep encouraging people, they're going to grow. They're going to catch up with us. And so just continue loving people and treating people with love and respect. In Philippians 2, 13 through 11, I'm going to read it in the King James Version first and then the Amplified. Do nothing from selfishness or empty deceit. Through factional motives or strife, but with an attitude of humility, being neither arrogant nor self-righteous. Regard others as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this same attitude in yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus. Look to him as your example in selfless humility, who, although he existed in the form of an unchanging essence of God, as one with him, possessing the fullness of all the divine attributes, the entire nature of deity, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped or asserted, as if he did not already possess it or was afraid of losing it, but emptied himself without renouncing or diminishing his deity, but only temporarily giving up the outward expression of divine equality and his rightful dignity. By assuming the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man, he became completely human, but was without sin, being fully God and fully man. That's the example God set for us. After he was found in terms of his outward appearance as a man for divinely appointed time, he humbled himself still further by becoming obedient to the Father to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason also, because he obeyed and so completely humbled himself, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at that name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in submission of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess and openly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, sovereign God, to the glory of God the Father. And one more scripture, actually two more. Romans 12, 1 through 3 in the Amplified reads, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, and intelligent act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you. For by the grace of God given to me, I say to every one of you, not to think more highly of himself and of his importance and of his importance and ability than he ought to think, but to think as to have sound judgment, as God has apportioned to each a degree of faith and a purpose designed for service. And this is my last scripture. 2 Corinthians 9:8 in the Amplified Classic says, and God is able, and let this go into your heart, and God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come in abundance to you, so that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in Him, and have an abundance for every good work and act of charity. I want to encourage you today. Answer the call. Answer the call that God has on your life and live the way God wants you to live. God is good, and I know it's Mother's Day, but I want to encourage each of you to come forward and just let the words that God gave me, let it be applied to your life. And I encourage you, let's live a disciplined, structured life so that we can be all that God wants us to be.
We heard this morning. I want to be better, and I want to answer the call. But every one of us have to make that decision for ourselves. Get that Joshua spirit inside of us. As for me and my house, we gonna serve the Lord. Amen. I love and celebrate all you mothers today. And we want to go home, make sure we're celebrating mothers. Before we do leave, the youth are raising funds to go to North American Youth Congress. And on, what's the date of that? Huh? One more time. June 1st. I should put my glasses on. June 1st. Hallelujah. June 1st, they're having a barbecue chicken dinner. It's only $10 a ticket. And challenge you, get involved in it.